Andrew Kelleher, JMI Wealth, good morning. Lot to digest there.
There's heaps there. Geez, yesterday preview, today GDP, throw in the Fed, what a week.
You had a number for the GDP?
I think it's going to be close. I mean, it's extremely hard to pick, but it will be closer to 10 than it is to 16. That's what I'm telling you. That estimate of 16, that was finalised several weeks ago.
Yeah.
And we've had some better data since then. So it's going to be closer to 10. But, this pre-for yesterday, Mike, there's sort of some key takeouts, I suppose. And you made a very valid point before. The good news on the current position is basically that's a completely relative basis. It's just not as bad as people thought it was going to be. But there is a very sobering reality in these numbers yesterday, Mike, of what the long-term implications are for the current decisions that we are making. And I do want to stress that there's another key takeout, that there is a great deal of forecasting uncertainty. So Treasury is basically having to make educated guesses of how this all sort of pans out. But looking at some detail, like, we know that interest rates will be lower for longer. Well, these fiscal deficits will linger for longer, and that is the key point. There are no guarantees that any of this forecasting will be correct. The comparative numbers for the pre-FU were the budget numbers. So your 2020 operating deficit, better than expected back in May. But it's the way these deficits linger, Mike. You refer to this, what we call the OBGAL, the operating balance, you know, still $12.4 billion in deficit in 2024. Net debt as a percentage of GDP doesn't even peak until 2024. So it's the extent of time that this thing goes on. I mean, Treasury's forecast for GDP, yeah, they've picked up to 16. We will get a slightly better number than that today, as we've just said. But unemployment, Mike, it's not peaking until March 2022.
Yeah.
So that is still quite a long way away. We've got the border being remaining closed until the end of next year, some easing from September quarter onwards. I mean, Treasury is basically taking the view, and this has been challenged in the private sector, that the effects of the coronavirus will be persistent. So that what they have done is looked at three scenarios. We haven't got time to go into that, but that was a smart thing to do because we don't exactly know how it's going to pan out. A couple of final comments here, Mike. Crown revenue, this is what the government earns, doesn't exceed Crown expenses. This is core. I've not even looked at total. I'm just looking at the core numbers. That doesn't exceed that for 10 years.
Yeah.
So government spending more than... And the other one I want to point out, government net worth, assets less the liabilities. That falls from 38% of GDP to just under 9% of GDP. I'll put this in terms that people might understand. If you had that was your equity in your house, you are going to drop your equity in your house by 75%. So the government's net worth is going to fall by 75%, and that's what spending more than you earn does.
That's exactly right, and I don't know why people aren't. I mean, I don't know whether people are even interested in this and whether the election's a foregone conclusion. I just don't. Anyway, the current account balance, or a surplus, now it's a surplus because we didn't buy anything, isn't it?
Yeah. Just give it some quick exposure here. It is historical. It's June, but the annual deficit, 1.9% of GDP, that was better than expected. We had a record number for the quarter, and what's basically happened here is that imports fell more than exports. So we're getting money in and we're not spending as much out. So there's a slump in demand for oil, and of course there was a slump in spending by international tourists. But actually, pretty good numbers, but very specific circumstances.
Anything from the Fed?
The Fed, yeah, just come out, so it's hot off the press. Will it be dovish? Will there be more stimulus? Well, they're on hold until 2023. They'll keep interest rates. They're on
hold.
Nothing going on to 2023. Yeah, next, please. Not our patient. On hold until 2023. They'll keep rates near zero until they achieve maximum employment. They'll let it overshoot. They need to get it back to 2%. There is a little bit of dissent. There was some dissent among the members. The market at the moment has reacted small positive to that, so the US market's up a little bit since that came out.
Righto, what are the numbers?
As we look at them, 28,287 on the Dow, so that's up almost 300 points. The S&P 500, 3414, that's up about 15 points. The NASDAQ is up, it was low, it was in negative territory, it's now 11,210, up 19 points. The FTSE 100 overnight, 6078, down 27. The Nikkei, 23475 up 21. Shanghai Composite 3283 down 12. The ASX 200 yesterday gained 61 points, 5956. That was up just over 1%. And our local market reacted a small positive to all the stuff out yesterday, up 44 points, 0.37%. The NZX 50 closing 11,814. The Kiwi dollar is stronger as we look at it now, 0.6743 against the US dollar, 0.9207 against the Aussie, 0.5697 against the euro, 0.5194 pounds against the yen, with 70.73. gold trading at $1,961.92, and Brent crude $42.06.
Look forward to your company tomorrow. Andrew Kelleher at jmiwealth.co.nz.